Ladies and gentlemen, let's stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God from His Holy Bible. As I continue to preach in your hearing, rejoice, pray, give thanks, repeat. Part 17, Praying Through the Bible, message number 352. Now, I realize that this title does not perfectly match up to portions of this series, but I kept the title because I like the title. And it reminds us of the three verses that we started out with. And these other things that we're talking about in this passage accompany these three things. Rejoice, and all of these things have something to do with prayer. Rejoice always. You ought to be giving God praise all of the time. Pray without ceasing. You ought to be praying to God all of the time. And give thanks. Giving thanks. We ought to be giving thanks to God all of the time. For the Bible says, this is the will of God concerning you. And that's rather deep if you think about it. Turn in your Bibles now, same chapter, but 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 19 through 25. The Bible reads, quench not the Spirit. And I hope to God you're not quenching the Spirit. There's nothing worse than preaching in to a congregation with a bunch of people who are quenching the Spirit and grieving the Spirit in their lives. It's like preaching to a brick wall. Verse 20, devise not prophesyings. We have dealt with that. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. By the grace of God, last week we dealt with this verse, verse 22. Abstain from all appearance of evil. We ought to rejoice forevermore and abstain from evil at the same time. We ought to pray without ceasing and abstain from evil. We ought to give thanks and abstain from evil. Somebody said we can walk and chew gum, and we as Christians can do these things that are commanded by God to us. Tonight we're going to deal with, or begin to deal with, if the Lord tarries his coming, we will do the second half of this verse next week. Verse 23 says, and the very God of peace, and the very God of peace. If you don't have peace tonight in your heart, your mind, your soul, and your spirit, then there's something wrong, because if you know God, you will have peace. And however, if you sin against God and you're living in sin, you will not have peace, because God is very loving, but he does not play games. So, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit. Now, this is deep stuff here, folks. And soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Brethren, pray for us. Brethren, pray for us. This is one of the reasons why we continued in this passage, because Paul wraps it up with, brethren, pray for us. Now, everybody remind me, when we get down to, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. I have something that I want to share with you from Martin Lloyd Jones, I believe his name is, which will blow your mind and help you to understand a passage like this and why we should pray, even though God knows everything. So when we get to this point, which will probably be in 2 weeks, if the Lord tarries us coming and we live, remind me of that. Write that down, because we need to get that. Yes. Write that down now. Somebody in the back, write that down. I want to make sure we have that. Brethren, pray for us. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we are reminded tonight of the old Negro spiritual, as they called them. It's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. How that we ought to pray one for another. And thank you, Lord, for reminding us of your commandment to pray the Lord of the harvest for more laborers to go into the field. For we have many saints, but many are not in the field. So, Lord, help us all to get into the whited harvest field. Grant us your grace, your strength, your courage, your boldness, and the power of your Holy Spirit to be the shining lights and witnesses you want us to be. Lord God in heaven, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. We pray now that you would fill me and all of us with the power, the unction, and the anointing of your Holy Spirit, that you would speak to all of our hearts, and not just speak to our hearts, but to the point of change if we're already born again and saved, to confess sin, to repent, to get to where you want us to be, to grow and be all that you want us to be. And for those who don't know you, that they would come to know you by the power in might of your Holy Spirit and by your grace. And Lord, we thank you for what you do. We don't understand it all, but we thank you for it all. And we individually confess our sins, our failures, and our faults, and our inconsistencies. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins as we from our hearts by your grace. Forgive those who've sinned against us. And we pray that you'll crush and crucify our flesh, the old man within us, and fill us afresh and anew with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing, the fruit and the liberty of your Holy Spirit. Demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit as I share your holy word once again for, I believe, the 352nd time on a Wednesday night in a row. Glorify your holy name. Lift up your holy son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Save that soul that is nearest hell and reclaim the backslidden. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in a rather long but beautiful series of messages titled Praying Through the Bible, a series on every passage and verse regarding prayer in the Bible. The purpose of this series is to encourage you to simply pray. And I really mean that. I'm talking to born-again ones. And by the way, God gave me an idea today. I hope no one steals it. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. But he put this thought in my mind. Church, ye must be born again. We need to get back to that phrasing and fully understand it. Because we might have some saved folks in the church, but they have never been born again. And being born again makes a huge difference. These are they. These are the people that I'm talking to. Born again ones. Martin Lloyd Jones talked about now. He said we ought to pray for sinners. But prayer is not for sinners. It's for born again ones. Saved ones. People who know Christ and follow Christ. And who understand that if they love Christ, they will obey Christ. So I mean it when I say I'm here to encourage you to pray. Exhort you to pray. Challenge you to pray. Yes, if you will, motivate you to pray to the God of the Bible. I don't care how you feel about anything. Pray. The greatest medicine in the world for any ailment and any situation and any predicament is prayer. And you sometimes, as you get older in the Lord, you have to pray what I call dry prayers. Sometimes when I am punishing one of my children, I give them a dry computer, meaning it does not have the internet. And when I say dry prayers, that's not a punishment. It's all about faith. It's all about having faith in God. You, in other words, you don't feel anything like you used to feel it when you were a babe in Christ. The lightning is not flashing. You don't feel something running down your spine, movement in your soul. And I know that everybody wants to feel something today, and you want that excitement again. But when you get deep into walking with Christ, there will be many days when you will not see anything or feel anything, because God was telling you a long time ago, and me as well, we walk by faith, not by sight. That includes not by feelings, folks. And so we have some folks tonight who are depressed and defeated because they haven't felt anything in a while. And I'm here to tell you, keep on praying to God. In fact, that's when you need to pray to God the most, when you don't feel anything and you don't see anything and things are kind of murky and rough. It seems like you're always wrestling. And here's when you know you're really praying: when it seems like things are getting worse. See, you only born again ones, only born again ones understand what I'm talking about there. Okay? Sometimes I hate to tell people to pray, because I know in most cases things are going to get worse for them. They're going to feel worse, and it's going to seem very dark and difficult and painful. in the beginning when they start back praying. But God is still there. God is right there. And he hears our prayers. Even the dry prayers. You say, well, preacher, what is a wet prayer? You know, I've been in the wet prayer meetings, and people say, all right, now let's pray. They get all excited. They grab your hand, and they start shaking and jerking and everything like that, and hollering, you know. They're trying to conjure something up. They think that feeling and emotions and jerking is where it's at, and that's not where it's at, people. Be that as it may, we have highlighted each of these over 500 verses and passages in the Prayer Motivator Devotional Bible. So far, we have completed 351 messages in this series. That is 351 Wednesday nights since we started. I can't even remember the first sermon. So long ago, and what a journey it has been. One of the journeys of my lifetime. I don't know if God is going to allow me to get to message 500. Hopefully one of my children would carry it on if I drop dead and head on up a little higher, or maybe somebody else. But I thank God for these 351, and tonight 352. And the message is still simply titled, and I think wonderfully titled, Rejoice, Pray, Give Thanks, Repeat. Now you can put that in your hat and take it with you. And this is part 17. Dr. Michael D. Martin said, it is evident from the presence of the exhortations in the letter that for Paul's prayer to become reality, God's will, pardon me, God's will to sanctify the saints must be matched by the believer's willingness to see their lives sanctified and or transformed. From this passage, ladies and gentlemen, we are looking at several commands for believers in light of our overall theme of prayer. On last week, we looked at the importance of abstaining from the appearance of evil and how prayer can help us do that. In fact, nothing can help you abstain from the appearance of evil like prayer, because through prayer, and I am convinced many of us as Christians are not aware of the advantage it is to be in touch with God through prayer, through Jesus Christ's name. But it's huge. Because if you're praying without ceasing, God has a way of giving you a heads up, giving you eyes that can see around corners. People come up to you and God gives you the all the information you need about that person before you engage with them in business or anything else. God will tell you things about people. You don't have to get a degree about certain things. God will tell you more in a minute than what you can learn in 4 years in college. And everybody who's born again knows that. Everybody who's born again and prays as they should, they know it. You can wake up in the morning troubled about something, have a little talk with Jesus, and Jesus will give you the answer and the solution to your problem as to what. Now, you're going to still have to physically go do it, but he will give you the solution. He's not going to drop. God does not drop money out of the sky. Money does not grow on trees. The doctor is not going to come and knock on your door, but he will tell you what to do if you stay in contact with him through prayer. God will tell you what your children are doing. I'm talking to born again ones. They know what I'm talking about. God will inform you about what your grown children are doing, what your teenagers are sneaking and doing, and give you the rundown on what's happening. And some of you parents are worried and about to lose your mind trying to keep up with your crazy children because you refuse to pray. The best parenting partner in the world is God. Because he knows where your children are right now, and you don't. But he can tell you if you stay in touch with them. Verse 23 says, the verse that we are looking at today continues with this theme of righteous, holy, godly living. As Paul expresses his desire for the Thessalonian believers to be holy or wholly sanctified. Now, when I was growing up, I heard a whole lot about being sanctified, baptized with fire, and with the evidence of speaking in tongues. I was raised in the Baptist Church and the Pentecostal Holiness Church simultaneously. And so it was all rather confusing to me back in those days because I was not a born-again one. I was a persecutor of the church, if you will. I hated preachers. And I hated all the Christians coming over to eat up all the chicken my mother cooked. They became my enemies. Church folks stayed in church too long. Preachers preached too long. It made me mad. And so they didn't understand that the Dallas Cowboys came on at 12. The white folks understood it. So I was not a fan of the church back in those days. So it was all confusing to me. I was lost and on my way to hell. I was not born again. It is wise for every pastor to pray for the sanctification of his flock. And all sanctification means is to be set apart for God's use, for God's glory and praise. It is wise, therefore, for any Christian who is in a position of leadership or servanthood, rather, to pray for the sanctification of all who are under their care, whether in the church, the home, or in the community. Easton's Bible Dictionary defines sanctification as the work of the Holy Spirit, setting people apart, bringing the whole nature more and more under the influences of the new gracious principles implanted in the soul. Now, you're not going to understand that unless you're born again. You're not going to appreciate that unless you are born again in regeneration and salvation. He continues. In other words, sanctification is the carrying on to perfection of the work begun in regeneration, and it extends to the whole man, heart, mind, soul, spirit, body. And so, even though as an evangelist, I'm more concerned about your soul getting saved, I thank God for the pastors who have a holistic approach to taking care of God's people once they get saved. And that's good. We all have our calling. Sanctification is the continual setting apart of the heart for the enthronement of God, the mind for the will of God, and the body for the service of God. Are you sanctified? I'm almost sure that many of the people who, back in the day, who said, "I am sanctified," didn't really understand what it meant. Sanctification is not necessarily easy, but it is a necessary part of growing in Christ. This setting apart, God setting us apart for His use, for His glory, His praise, and His honor. Paul's desire is for the very God of peace to sanctify the saints. And too many people try to live sanctified lives in their own strength and their own power, committed to rules and regulations about smoking and drinking and modesty or hanging out with a certain group of people, than they are to the Spirit of God, which ought to govern every believer's life. Please understand, ladies and gentlemen, we do not sanctify ourselves by our actions, by our might. Our actions ought to come about because we are sanctified deep down on the inside. It is about God. It is about Jesus. It is about the Holy Spirit of God in us manifesting this sanctification in and through our lives. It is not about us gritting our teeth. It is about surrendering all to God and allowing God to break us, to make us, and to mold us to be what He would have us to be. Some people are more, and it is the God of peace, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, who sanctifies us. It is the God of peace who sanctifies us. We don't sanctify ourselves. Charles Wanamaker said in his Greek commentary on this epistle, "To describe God as the God of peace is to review, or rather to view God as the source of all well-being for the people of God." Allow me to repeat that in your hearing. He said, to describe God as the God of peace is to view God as the source of all well-being for the people of God in every area of their lives. End of quote. Even when we do the right thing, even when we live in a way that renders us at peace with God and man, it is not we who are doing it. but it is the expression of God being lived out through us by the grace of God. Amen, somebody. We ought to adopt Paul's prayer for the Thessalonians, for ourselves. We ought to pray daily for God to sanctify us while we strive to obey all of the commands in this passage. Let us pray without ceasing for sanctification and have that striving to come by the power and through the power of the Holy Spirit of God, led by Him, controlled by Him, Him manifesting the fruit of His Holy Spirit in our lives. Charles Wesley said many years ago, God of all power and truth and grace, which shall from age to age endure, whose word when heaven and earth shall pass, remains and stands forever sure. Thy sanctifying spirit pour to quench my thirst and make me clean. Now, Father, let the gracious shower descend and make me pure from sin. Purge me from every sinful blot. My idols all be cast aside. Cleanse me from every sinful thought, from all the filth of self and pride. Give me a new, a perfect heart, from doubt and fear and sorrow free. The mind which was in Christ impart, and let my spirit cleave to thee. Amen, somebody. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you are with us tonight and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, your first prayer needs to be what we call the sinner's prayer. First, please understand that you are a sinner just as I am, and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We die physically because of our sin. Our soul goes to hell. Our body goes to the grave if we don't trust Christ as Savior. Our soul goes to hell. So accept, thirdly, the fact that you're on the road to hell right now if you have never trusted Christ as Savior. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is a very real place. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. So this is a very serious matter. Hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. You do not have to go to hell. You can go to heaven to be with God and with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that is, perish in hell, but have everlasting life. Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul, and he will. Romans 10, 9 and 13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. And all you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to try to do any good works. You don't have to join a church. You don't have to be in a church to be saved. Simply believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you ready to trust Christ as your Savior tonight? Repeat after me in prayer. I will help you with what we call the sinner's prayer, or the prayer of salvation. Repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that he suffered and bled and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past, and help me to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God found in the Bible, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've done the most important thing in life. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you. Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. We love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.